began today singing, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. A sacrifice of praise. Is praising God sometimes a sacrifice? We go through difficult times. We get sick. We lose family members. Difficult times. A sacrifice of praise. From Hebrews 13:15. And it is to praise God in the most difficult of times. I've made someone angry already. Blessed travels. We pray and we thank God, even in the midst of the most difficult times. A sacrifice of praise. I think of Habakkuk, in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The prophet is talking about Israel and Judah, where they're going to be invaded. People are going to come. They're going to be taken captive. They're going to have a lot of bad things happen to them. And he says this, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there's absolutely no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, they have nothing. Nothing's growing, animals are gone, there's no food. Yet, I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. A sacrifice of praise. Yeah, I have a question. When we pray, and this is when we need something, when we want something, when we desperately need healing, when we pray, do you believe God hears you? I mean, we do. We believe it. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't believe it. I don't think we'd be here today. But do you believe it? Is he ever going to answer me? Did he hear me? Do you have a concept of him being here, close by? Or do you think sometimes you're praying and you're I'm just speaking to the wind. I don't know where God is because it doesn't seem like he's listening. What do you have a concept that he's right here? Well, today's message is I am close by listening. I am close by listening. And it comes out of Psalm 34:15-18. Thank you for reading that. Psalm 34:15-18. Psalm 34:15, and the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Maybe the question is, maybe he doesn't answer, maybe I'm not righteous. We're going to come to that. This verse says that God sees us. and he hears us, the righteous. When we call out to him, he is attentive to our cries. Attentive. Sorry, I got too many tibs in there. He is attentive to our cry, to our call, to our groanings. He is thoughtfully paying attention to us. He is listening carefully to our words, to our emotions, to our pain, to what we need, how we're feeling. Let's think for a moment with Israel. Israel spent many years in Egypt. Joseph Achilles went down, being sold into slavery, and he becomes number two in the land. There's Pharaoh, and then there's Vice Pharaoh, which is Joseph. And there's a drought, and Israel comes down, and everyone is saved, and then they spend time there, and they grow in number. And they become so populous that Egypt gets a little bit afraid of them. This is from Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 14. And it says this. It says, eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. How long does that take? Well, maybe sometimes just a generation. If we're not talking to those coming up behind us, how long does it take for them to not know reality, the truth? There was a new king who did not know Joseph or anything he did. And he said to his people, he said to Egypt, look, the people of Israel now outnumber us. And they are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more so. If war breaks out, here's the fear. If war breaks out, they may join our enemies and fight against us. And then they'll escape out of this country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed, and here is how Israel lived for many, many years, hundreds of years. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them. This is out of the New Living Translation today. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. Without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work of the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. Do you ever feel a little bit like that in life? Life is just working you to death. Maybe life is just ruthless, just without mercy sometimes, it seems. Well, in Exodus chapter 2, three verses, 23, 24, and 25, it came about in the course of those days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of their bondage. They cried out, help us. And their cry for help because of their bondage, scripture says this, it rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. He heard them, he saw them, and he took notice. God is intimately involved in our lives, yes? I mean, we know this. And yet sometimes, do we doubt? Is God close by? Isn't that what verse 15 here in Psalm 34 says? God hears us and sees us. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So the question, let's come back to this, are we righteous? Well, as a believer, yes, we are. With our faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us his righteousness. He gives us his holiness. And so we can rest assured that as righteous people, not because we do the right thing always, but because Christ has put us in a right relationship with God. And so because we are righteous, God sees us and hears us. But the next verse. So we can sit here, we can rest assured, God sees us and hears us. But there is indication that there are people that he does not. The next verse, Psalm 34, 16. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Does that seem a little harsh? Maybe a little out of context for our concept of God. Let's just look at a few other verses. Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. What? And sitting here today, this could affect any of us in our prayer life, in our relationship with God. If I hold on to sin, if I regard sin in my heart, if I hold on to sin, if I keep doing what I want to do instead of following God's command, if I love and cherish and cling to these sinful behaviors or desires or thoughts, if I hold on to these in my heart, it hinders my prayers. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And not only not hear, but the evildoers, he intends to cut off from the face of the earth. This is precisely what is described in Daniel chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar has this vision of a statue, a head of gold and bronze and silver, and right? And in this vision, there's this rock that comes out of the mountain. And this rock wasn't formed by human hands. The rock is Jesus Christ. But in the vision, the rock comes and it smashes the statue in the vision, if you remember that. And it grinds that statue to a powder so fine that it's blown away like chaff. Okay? And this is what happens to the people of the world, the kingdoms of the world that think they are so powerful today. But those that do not accept Jesus Christ, blown away like chaff. In Proverbs 28:9, it says, He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. People that want nothing to do with God's law, nothing to do with his word, nothing to do with God, but then they come to him because they want something, because they need something. Their very prayer is an abomination. I am not suggesting we don't pray for people that don't know the Lord, because we should. But our primary prayer for people that don't know the Lord is that they know him. I don't want to stand there and say, Father, give them all that they want and all that they need. And because at the end, if someone is steeped in sin, and I pray for them, and they see their way, and they stop doing all the horrible things that they do, you know, they stop partying, they stop sleeping around, they stop whatever it is. If they change all their lifestyles so that they're living godly lifestyles, but they don't know Jesus, they're not going to get them to heaven. And it's not just that their prayer is an abomination. People that don't know, oh, Father, help me. It's not just that their prayer is an abomination. But this is what God says in Isaiah. And this is to Israel. This is to his chosen people. He said, you spread out your hands to me in prayer. But because you are so, he had given them a list. They had become so corrupt. And yet you spread out your hands in prayer, but I'm going to hide my eyes from you. Even though you multiply your prayers and blah, 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 and pray to me all the time, I will not listen. I will not listen. I think I'm preaching to the choir here today. But we need to understand that we have to keep working at this life, our Christian life, a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes I bring a sacrifice of complaint. That's no sacrifice at all. It's real easy. Father, nah, nah, nah. But God doesn't stop there in Isaiah. He doesn't just say, you know what? Pray to me all you want. I'm not going to listen. He doesn't stop there. He says this. He says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. And this is not just a list of social services that we help with people. But wash yourself. Stop mistreating people. Stop being so corrupt. Remove the sin from your life. But there is a difference. For those that repent and those that don't. For those that call upon the name of the Lord and those that won't. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Again, I am not righteous on my own. I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm not righteous because of what I say. I'm not righteous for anything on my own. I am righteous for one reason, and that is because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And unless you think this is just Old Testament, it's in the New Testament as well. In John chapter 9, Jesus, they're angry with him. They want to stone him, and he leaves the temple. And as he's leaving, it says as he passes by, there's this man that's there that was born blind. And this was on a Sabbath. But he stops, and he takes notice of this man. God is near. And he notices. And so in this particular case, Jesus spits on the ground and makes some clay and puts it on the guy's eyes. Now, doesn't sound real cleanly, but that's what he did. And then he told the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the guy goes and washes. When he does, his eyes, he can see. He was born blind. He's never seen a single thing in his life. And now he can see. And the Pharisees, of course, were incensed. This is a Sabbath. Who healed you? I don't know. It was this guy. Were you born blind? Well, yeah, I'm the guy that... I mean, they asked his parents, and they asked him a second time, like, who healed you? How did this happen? I already told you. Are you not listening to me? And he says this, here's this conversation, and it leads up to this in John 9, 29 through 31. And the Pharisees are like, well, we don't know who this guy is. We don't know where he's from. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, Jesus, whoever healed you, we do not know where he is from. And then the man did maybe a little bit of what I would have done, got a little bit smart with him. My tongue never got me in trouble before. No lightning. Thank you. The man answered and said this. Well, here is an amazing thing. You don't know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. Nobody's ever heard of this since the beginning of time, that somebody born blind can see. And he says this in verse 31 of John chapter 9. We know that God does not hear sinners. If anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. God hears our prayers because of our love for Jesus Christ. Not because of anything we do. He does not hear sinners. Were we not all sinners? Are we not all people that still sin? And yet it says God does not hear sinners. But here's the amazing thing. While we were steeped in our sins, while we were living the life, whatever it was, apart from him, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. God's eyes and ears are towards the righteous. We are righteous because of our faith in Jesus Christ. He does not hear the wicked in their prayers, but he hears the wicked when they pray, Father, I'm a sinner. I need you. He hears that prayer. Let's come back to our text in Psalm 34. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. It doesn't say we won't have troubles. It doesn't say we won't shed tears. But he'll get us through the troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 33:18, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. Do you hope? Do we take it for granted? We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. Do we take it for granted? Do we take grace for granted? Or do we sit here and we continue to hope? I hope you forgive me for today. I hope your loving kindness continues to fall upon me. And Psalm 18:6, this is a psalm of King David. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Here's the beauty. God's temple is not out there in some far distant heaven, right? David calls out, he cries, he asks for help, and it comes to God's ears in his temple. But when we accept Jesus Christ, what happens? Is this true for everyone who accepts Jesus Christ? When we accept Jesus Christ, what happens? We're saved. What are we given? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Why? Because we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in his temple. We are the temple. And when we pray, it comes right to his ears. He sees it. He's not in this temple that's in a far distant galaxy anymore. It's not a concept that he's out there somewhere. He's right here. Right here. We don't have to scream to get his attention, although sometimes I do. Bummer! We don't have to scream because he hears our every thought. Y'all, I'm gonna close with this. God is not a grandfather that we just go to when we want something or need something. Some of y'all are grandparents, and it's kind of fun. So I understand to shower things on your grandchildren. Even give them a little candy and send them home. Give them some caffeine and wind them up. But you shower gifts on your grandchildren. Yep. Maybe even a little more so once in a while than when you were raising your children. But God is not a grandfather that we go to just whenever we want something or need something. He's not the great Santa Claus in the sky. As children of God, with our faith firmly in Jesus Christ, God is, however, our grand Father who sees us, who hears us, and supplies us with our every need. Amen.